We're talking with the new incoming pro tem Senate leader for the state of Oklahoma's Oklahoma Senate, Mike Schultz from Altus. Mike, you're not just a senator, but you're also a farmer.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, what I'm the most proud of is being a farmer. That's where my passion is. That's where my heart is. That's where I go back and relax. That's where I go back and attempt to make a living. So, yeah, I'm definitely a farmer. Hopefully, that's what I will continue to do. That has always been my lifelong passion and always will be.
Your thoughts about Tuesday night as relates to the Senate and the House in Oklahoma?
Tuesday night in Oklahoma was a phenomenal night. We had 19 members, 19 Republicans on the ballot. We had 19 victories. Overall, this was such a strange cycle because there's actually 25 Senate races. One of those was a special election. There actually, all 25 of those races were contested at some level. Some in the primary, 19 of them onto the general. And 19 races, 19 wins, 13 new members coming into the chamber, a lot of turnover. House is experiencing a similar deal. They had 70-plus races that night. They've got 30-plus new members coming in. We added 3 to our caucus ranks. I think they added 4 to their caucus ranks. So really good night for Republicans on Tuesday night in Oklahoma.
What does it mean for you as being leader with that much, you know, turnover and new blood coming in?
It's a great opportunity to, you know, educate people on where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. A great opportunity to set a good foundation into the future, and something that I've really concentrated on through the summer and the fall. And our caucus has done a great job of you know, looking out into the future, setting some goals, saying here's where we want to be in 10 years, here's where we need to start to get there. We'll start having those discussions next week in our retreat, and kind of start formalizing that agenda and formalizing what those goals look like as a caucus. But extremely proud of the team that I get to work with, extremely proud and blessed at the time I'm getting to serve. A lot of really, really good people that I'm fortunate enough to get to work with.
The penny sales tax proposal soundly defeated. That means the ball is really in the court of the legislature to solve how we properly fund education, right?
Yeah, I think the people of Oklahoma spoke pretty loudly on that one. I always felt like that it would probably be defeated. I didn't think it would be defeated in the numbers that it was, but that was a pretty resounding defeat. I don't think it says that Oklahomans don't like teachers. I think they said the number was more, we don't want a 1% sales tax increase. And we need to dive into those numbers a little bit, figure that out for sure what the people of Oklahoma are saying. We will have a lot of conversations about teacher pay raises. How do we do it? How do we pay for it? I think the people are pretty clear they don't want to do it on the backs of a tax increase.
Of course, money is a big issue. It was this last year, will be again.
Money's always a big issue. Even when we have a lot of money, it's still a big issue. One of the things I like to remind people, state of Oklahoma spends $22 to $24 billion. Last year, we appropriated just under 7 of that. So we actually appropriate less than a third of the total state spending. I think a lot of people have the misconception that what we appropriate is the state budget in its entirety. That's only the appropriated dollar. But yeah, it's going to be another very challenging budget year. And, you know, it is what it is. And we'll have a certification here in a couple of months and, you know, start working from there.
Other things that are out there on the horizon that you think, you know, will be really a significant topic of conversation for 17.
I think one of the things that we're already talking about, we've talked about it the last couple of years, just haven't got a full resolution of the issue yet, but something that we're certainly having talks about right now, and something that I think will be on a fast track to be expedited when we get into session, is how we deal with Real ID. Department of Homeland Security came out several years ago and said that every state will be Real ID compliant by October of 2020. We've had some discussions, had a couple of pieces of legislation. This moved us a little closer to compliance. We're not as close to compliance as we need to be. We actually lost our federal exemption in October of this year. So basically, we've got to act and act quickly to get this thing resolved.
Right. Water's always a big deal as well.
Water is always a big deal. I think the agreement that was unveiled about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, historic agreement, applaud all of the parties that were involved in that and their willingness. I really didn't think I would see it, really in my lifetime, didn't think I'd see a settlement to that. If you look at some of the water agreements in states west of us, how long they've been kicked around, still not settled. This one settled rather quickly. I anticipate that the Congress and the Senate in D.C. will ratify it and put the final finishing touches to it. But, yeah, historic agreement takes a pretty big discussion point of water off the table, but we will continue to talk about water and should.
On ag issues, I know that feral hogs continue to be a real sore spot for a lot of folks.
Feral hogs are always going to, I think, dominate the discussion for many years to come because it's just it's a problem growing exponentially. The damage that they do to everything that they're involved in, how you control them, what means of control, landowner rights, always going to be sources of discussion. We'll be again this year. I think we'll take a pretty good step this year and some resolutions to it. I've had some really good meetings through the interim with the ag groups and Department of Wildlife, and I think there's a better understanding there of what the two groups are really trying to strive to accomplish, and I think we'll take a big step forward in resolving that.
777, of course, went down to a significant defeat. How does that impact the folks that represent agriculture before the legislature this coming year? Does it have some impact?
I think it has a tremendous amount of impact. I just like the defeat of the one penny sales tax or the 1% sales tax. They isn't saying that Oklahomans hate teachers. I think the defeat of 777, the right to farm, isn't saying that Oklahomans hate farmers. But I do think as a legislator, as a policymaker, it means that I need to keep my eyes a little wider open for who may be authoring and pushing certain pieces of legislation. I think it means for the ag groups, they need to be a little bit more vigilant in what they're doing because the groups that oppose that, the outside groups that poured so much money into the defeat of that, they'll come knocking at our door at some point and try to push some legislation.
Very good. Always good to see.